Hello, hello. Good evening, good afternoon, wherever you at in the country today or in the world. I just want to say hello. And you guys, oh my gosh, it's been so long since I recorded a podcast. You do not know how excited I am today to be sitting here in my guest room recording this podcast for you guys today. I am so super excited. For those of you who don't know, this is your girl Alice, and this is Protect Your Glow, the podcast. Thank you so much for pressing play today. I'm so excited to be here. It's been a crazy, fun roller coaster ride of experience so far this year. Can you believe it? We are headed into October. We only have 2 weeks left in September, and it's just crazy how fast the days are leaving us by. But nonetheless, I'm excited to be here. I hope you all are doing great as well, and I hope you guys are enjoying your summer. We're heading into fall. Hope you guys are having making some plans, and just ready to take the end of the year by storm. And today, you guys, I just want to start off by just letting you guys know what's going on with me. You know, I try to sit down and write some notes to get, you know, some points going here as to what's been happening with me, but I believe, you know, it's better organically, so I'm just gonna go ahead and give you guys bite-sized pieces of what's been going on with me these past couple months. First of all, I just wanna thank God for everything. God is definitely the head of my life and the reason why I'm still here breathing and having a heartbeat, so I wanna acknowledge Him. I want to thank God for allowing me to even be a part of this life still at 36 and for giving me new experiences and turning my, you know, sadness into joy. It was a rough couple of years, as you guys know. If you guys have listened to my podcast, I have one where, you know, I talked about grieving and the process of me losing my father in 2016, and that took a toll on me, and also going through some marital issues that took a toll on me. But to be here still standing, man, I just want to let you guys know that if you're going through it, go through it and just ask God, Father, what is it that you want me to learn from this experience? Because sometimes God chastises us, not because He hates us, but because He loves us and He wants us to grow. I can tell you because I've started in that movie. And so, you know, this year was off to a good start. It taught me a lot of things, you know, about myself that I did not know. Taught me a lot of things about how much I can tolerate. And at the beginning of this year, my husband and I made a decision to try to purchase our first home. Can y'all hear me? I'm not sure what happened with my recording, but all of a sudden it just stopped. So I'm back. But yeah, like I was saying, my husband and I made the decision to purchase our first home. It was such a learning experience. I thank God that we had a great realtor. You know, in the beginning was a little rough with me not exactly knowing what I was doing. Reached out to my big brother for some help, and that was very helpful. And so, nonetheless, make a long story short, I want to do a podcast on a girl's guide to purchasing her first home. So I'm working on that and for you guys, so I can give you more in-depth information on, you know, some of the things I've learned, the do's and don'ts, what I would have done differently had I known. But it was my first time, our first time, so it was definitely a learning experience, and I'm so glad that I went through it. But nonetheless, excuse me, to make a long story short, we purchased our first home. Yay! Praise God. So as of August 2nd, we became homeowners, and I'm so excited. I love it. I love our new place. It's a two-story home out in North Cape Coral, and we love it. It's gorgeous, and we just thank God for it. And I'm just telling you, this podcast is to give you guys some insights on the power of words. I'm telling you from experience. What, you know, you hear a lot of different motivational speakers, pastors, whatever, therapists, they all say the same thing basically. And I think a lot of people, a lot of professions, take a lot of their notes, you know, or they may or may not know, but a lot of it comes from the Bible. I mean, if you think about certain books, Think and Grow Rich, if you think about other books like, you know, let's say, how to stop negative thinking or how to be positive, whatever the title may be. A lot of those information, you can find it in Proverbs. A lot of those information, you can find that and in Corinthians, you know. A lot of those information, you can find in Romans. So I think a lot of people, you know, they may not know this, but a lot of the information comes from the Bible as far as, you know, the power of your words. And I started doing a lot of affirmations, excuse me, at the end of 2017, I believe. I mean, I knew about affirmations, and at first I thought it was crazy that, you know, people would talk to themselves and say, I am great and I am good and I can do whatever I put my mind to. You know, at first I was like, what kind of crap is this? And then I realized, no, there is power in words. You know, you hear the cliche, you are what you think. There is so much truth to that. Because whatever you feed your mind, like I've told you guys before, our minds only puts out what we put into it. Understand? So it's like a garden. I've used this in a different podcast before, but I want to say it again for those of you who may not have listened to that podcast or may not have heard it. But I believe that our minds is like a garden, right? And so whatever we put in that garden is what's going to grow. For example, if you want an apple tree, or if you want bananas, or you want plantains. I'm from the island, from the Caribbean, so we like plantain, fried plantain, all that stuff. Shout out to all my Caribbean people out there. West Indies, what's up? All my Haitians, stand up. You know, so if you want plantains or whatever, or if you're looking for cabbages or lettuce, you then take a seed of that plant and you put it in the garden and you water it. You make sure you tend to it and it grows, correct? And so the garden does not know what is coming out, right? The garden does not know that, oh, you're planting an apple tree, or you're planting plantains, or you're planting carrots or whatever. The garden does not know that, right? It only produces what you, it gives you what you put in. So I believe that, or it produces what you plant in it. So I believe our minds work the same way. Like whatever we feed ourselves, whatever we think of ourselves, that's what we put out in the world. And so I've had some jobs where I've worked with people that are very negative, and I have to find a way to change my mindset every day going to work. It's like, it's a battlefield for me, you know what I'm saying? It's like a war zone. So I have to get in my car, put on something inspirational. I listen to Steve Harvey a lot. He has a lot of morning inspirations. I listen to T.D. Jakes a lot. I listen to different worship songs, you know, things that will get my mind going in the right direction, because I want to have a good day, and that's every day. And so because I'm going into a battlefield where people are cussing up a storm every day, where people are saying things that, you know, you would not believe, or they're just being very, they're not kind to themselves, is how I put it. I have to go into that battlefield with a positive thinking. And so those are some of the things that I do to get my mind intact. Some may say, oh, well, Alice, if you don't want to be in a negative environment, why are you there? And there's some truth to that. But I also do believe that the world we live in is not perfect. And although I have plans to not be there for the rest of my life, but I do believe that we sometimes have to deal with what we're given, and that we're not perfect human beings, and that things are not going to go our way all the time. So we're going to have to learn to work with people that we don't like. We're going to have to learn to do things that we necessarily don't want to do. And I stand by that Oprah quote where she goes, you do what you want, you do what you have to do until you do what you want to do. And so that's where I'm at right now in my life, doing what I have to do until I do what I want to do. And so, but in that interim, I have to find ways to keep my mind on things that are good. You understand? It's not to say that I myself don't get negative, or I myself don't want to cuss somebody out every other day. No, but because I'm trying to grow in a different direction, because I'm finally realizing who I am and my worth in Christ Jesus, because outside of him, I am nothing. And so because I understand that now, I approach life differently. I approach different tactics, different problems. My strategies are a bit different, you understand, because of my thinking. And so what are some of the things that I do to really get into the core of who I am, and to really understand what my time on this earth is, and to really try to understand the value of my time on planet Earth, and not taking it for granted is I make sure that every day when I wake up that I have something positive on, whether it's a motivational video, like I told you guys, or music, whatever. And we've even trained our children to even think the same way. Our children are required every morning when they wake up to listen to something positive, to say something positive. If they're being negative, we point it out. Then they point it out to us when we get into that mindset, because hey, look, like I said, we don't have wings over here. You understand? We're not angels. But it's good to hold that we hold each other accountable, because and I believe also with children too, their mind are so fragile, right? It's so young and fresh that whatever, if you're not careful on the things that you tell your children, if you're not careful on the things that you feed them, they'll go out there in the world believing that, you know, when somebody tells them they're stupid, they're going to go out there in the world and believe that. And I just want our kids to grow up in a world where they know that they have options and that there are liars out there, and that people usually impose their fears onto you. That's why they tell you you can't do something, or people have a certain limit for themselves that they try to impose on you. But I tell them that no one is able to set a limit for you, only you. Because you're too much might not be too much for me, you under, or you're too much might be too much for me, or my too much might be too much for you. You can't look at someone and feel like they're doing the most or they're doing too much. Maybe that's what they want to do, and or maybe that's the capacity of which their brain works. You understand? Like, I believe our brain has a capacity to do amazing and crazy things, and so I try to train our children, or we try to train our children rather, to go out there into the world, to know who they are in Christ Jesus, and to not let a teacher, a friend, or a bully impose their fears onto them. Does that mean they're not going to try to want to be part of the in crowd, or they're not going to feel bad some days? Of course. But if I can get our children in that mindset of, hey, honey, your words have power. What you say is what's going to happen. If you say to yourself that you can't do that, then you're absolutely right. You cannot do that. If you say to yourself that you can, then you absolutely can. And the reason why it's so important and vital for me to give our children that platform is because, or give them that thresh of hope, is because growing up, especially if you guys don't know, I'm Haitian, grew up in a Haitian household. A lot of the things you hear in a Haitian household is they think that they're bringing you up, but they're actually bringing you down, you know, telling you things that you're not going to be anybody, or you're not nothing, or you're stupid, or you're dumb. And I think sometimes Haitians have it. Not all. I'm saying this is my experience. It might not be for all Haitians. Some Haitians might grow up totally different. I'm letting you guys know my experience. And it's not, it wasn't throughout my whole childhood, but for the most part, it was like, you know, you'll hear things like you're stupid, you're dumb, or whatever. Or you'll hear things like, why you're an idiot, why did you do that? Like certain things, you know, I don't think they understood the power of their words and how it affected you. But you grew up second guessing yourself at things, you know, like, okay, is that dumb? Is that stupid? And because the things that you're doing wrong as a child is not explained to you, so you grow up thinking that, okay, they're right. They said I'm stupid, I must be stupid. And it's not until I started diving deep, you guys, into the power of words, into journaling. Like I said before, I journal every single day of my life. I keep a gratitude journal. I thank God for things, you know, because a lot of times we're in the habit of asking God for things, or, you know, and I'm like, what would happen if I just started thanking God instead of asking him all the time? Not that I don't ask, but I started thanking him for what I already have, because I know that my future is in his hands. You understand? And then so I started thanking God every day for the things that I have. And I just started, honestly, it's crazy how that happened, but I started to see the gratitude manifest in my life. And now also with doing this, you have to keep a humble heart. You have to have a humble spirit. You can't go to God and be grateful for things with a bodacious attitude or a feeling of entitlement, understand? And so I started just thanking God for the house that I did not get. I promise you guys, and I will get more into depth to this when I do that podcast on buying your first home. But what I believe I manifested our home because into existence, because I was thanking God, you guys, for this two-story house before I even thought about purchasing a home. I started thanking God for a two-story house in 2014. Or 2016, I can't remember, but I know it was one day I went to one of my friend's house. She lives out of town or whatever, another state. So I went to her home and I just walked in. I was just so in awe with her house, like, oh my God. And I'm not gonna lie, I coveted her house for a second, or for a day or two, whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, this house is so beautiful. Like, wow, I could see myself living in something like this, right? And so I started like just thinking about her house all the time. Not that I was jealous of her home. I just was like, man, I know that if I want this, I can have it too. You understand? And then so I started thanking God for a two-story home like a couple weeks after I left the state, whatever. Come back and I'm just thanking God for a two-story home. And I had a vision board and I would go ahead and like cut out a two-story home. I cut out a two-story house and put it on my vision board. I cut out a few things about, you know, entrepreneurship. I cut out a few things about money. I cut out a few things about traveling and created a vision board. Bought the board for a dollar from the Family Dollar store, a blackboard, and just I had a lot of magazines at the house. So I started going in there, just cutting things and just putting my vision into place. And you guys don't understand, there is power in saying something, believing it, and then seeing it. It's like, it's crazy how that works. But I did that. And so every day for 3-4 years, I'm thanking God for a two-story home that I didn't even start looking for. And so when I started looking for a house, we looked at about 10, 11 homes before we decided on this house. And this house was actually in the building process. The homes that we were looking at were already built. And so this house was in the building process. And when I saw it, my husband actually was the first person to point it out. But when we saw it, it was like, this is it. This is the house. And so we went through, you know, trials and different hiccups and stuff like that, bumps on the road with the process, which I'll get more in depth to, like I said. But man, I wanted to give up on this home. I'm not gonna lie, it's a few times I wanted to give up, and I'm like, God, you're not coming through. What is happening? Maybe it's not for us. I'm not gonna lie, I doubted God at the end. But what I did was, in my journal, I would write down like, God, please don't let me lose hope right now. And I'm honest, and you know, it's very important to be honest, because God already knows our heart, right? Like, He knows what we're gonna say before we even say it. So why are we fronting? And then so in my gratitude journal, I would write down, I'm like, God, I'll be honest with you. I am doubting you right now. I don't believe this house is going to come through. I don't see it. There's a lot of hiccups in the road that I didn't think. And thank God, financially, we were fine. You know, financially, my credit, as far as my credit, that was not an issue. Thank God. And we had the money. It was just, the issue was dealing with the builders. That was like talk about a headache. And thank God I had some friends that are already homeowners that coached me through the process, or family members or whatever, that coached me through the process. And it was like, okay, thank God. This is not just us. This does not only happen to us. But anywho, to get back to the power of words. And so knowing that, yeah, like I said, I told God that I was doubting Him or whatever. And I told God to give me strength through this process, because I don't believe it's going to happen for us. And what's crazy was, I opened my email one day, right? And I'm reading the email from somebody that I follow on social media. I forgot her name now, but I opened the email and she talks about her journey of going through home buying that she was currently in, and that how frustrated she was and how she wanted to give up on God, and I'm like, God, this email gotta be from you. Like, it can't be from nobody else. So the email resonated with me so much that I was like, whoa, God, this is creepy. Like, how is it that this email it came to me at this time when I needed it the most, and it's saying the same things, and and the lady was going through the same emotions that I was going through. And that's why I always say, sometimes, you know what, we're not all that different. We may have different skin colors, live in different areas of the world, or, you know, our experiences may be different, but we're all really not that different, because we do live in the human race, and we're all part of the human race, rather, and we do live on planet Earth. And so the email gave me a little boost of confidence. I'm like, God, this is so you. And then, a month later, boom, we got the home. And I was like, if I can, for the first half of my life, I'm only 36, so that's probably when I was 16, 15, whatever. Even in my 20s, I lived my life being so toxic, man. I just felt like, you know, somebody owed me something. I felt like I was trying to figure out who I was. I would try to get with different people or different friends that didn't, you know, really, we didn't have the same belief. Our core values weren't the same. And so, of course, that separated us slowly but surely. And I was just trying to find myself, really. I felt like I was in a sea of sharks and just trying to survive, you know, out there. And it didn't, it took me a long time to realize that my words have power, because I would say things to hurt people's feelings. If somebody hurt me, I would give it to them 20 times worse and felt like, bam, gotcha. We even now, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You know, it was just really immature mindset. It was really what it was. I just, there's no other way to put it. It was really just an immature mindset. But I started being like, you know what? What would happen if I changed things around and started manifesting greatness in my life? What would happen if I manifested prosperity? What would happen if I manifested, you know, home ownership? What would happen if I manifested? I'm telling you, everything that's happened in my life so far since I started changing my mindset and reading books. Like right now, I'm reading a book called Profit First by Michael. I can't say his last name. But it's I read about 3-4 pages and I was trying to read it on the cruise and I didn't get to finish it. But yes, we just came back from a 7-day cruise. We went to Mahogany Bay. We went to Cozumel, Cayman Islands, and Belize. And my favorite country out of this trip, of course, was Belize. I do love Mexico as well, but Belize was fun, super fun. We got sunburned. It was myself, my husband, and the kids. If you follow me on Instagram, you'll see some pictures that I put up. We had a blast. And so now it was 7 days of blissful peace, just laughter. My husband and I, we laughed a ton. We laughed a lot. So that was super fun. And I even manifested that with the power of words, because I put in my journal that thanking God for a fun, enjoyable, relaxing vacation even before it happened. So I'm just telling somebody out there that needs to hear this, that whatever change you want in your life, change is a result of your thinking. I'll say this again. Change is the result of your thinking. If you want change to happen in your life, you need to change your mindset. That's why sometimes you'll hear people say success is a mindset. It absolutely is. Because you have people out there that don't know their left from their right that are successful. You have people out there, you look at them and wonder, how? What? How did you get in this position? Because you have no clue. Exactly. They thought it, they believed it, and they convinced others to believe the same. And that's how they have got the success that they've gotten. And so, like I said, change is a result of your thinking. So if you want something to change, if you're somewhere and you don't like it, you need to change your thinking. And I remember being at our apartment, because we were living in an apartment for like 6 years. No, was it 6 years? No, I've been renting for 13 years. And I calculated in that time frame that we have spent over $130,000 in renting. And I was like, whoa. So I never sat down to do that calculation. I was talking to a friend of mine and trying to find ways to convince my husband that we need to buy a home, because my husband's an introvert and he thinks differently. So I was like, how do I break this down to him that it's time for us to buy a house? And then so I did the calculation, came out of me sitting down and trying to figure out how I'm going to convince him that this is a great time to purchase a home because of the amount of money we spent in renting. And I calculated that we spent $130,000, you guys. $130,000. Like, whoa! I could have purchased like a land and two homes or whatever with that kind of money, right? But hey, when I prayed, I asked God to help me pay my rent. So that's what he did. He helped me pay my rent. I didn't say, God, help me pay my mortgage. So he didn't give me a mortgage to pay. He gave me renting. You understand? Whatever you see, God is fair, man. God is so cool. God is so fair. Whatever you ask him for, that's what he gonna give you. You ask God for rent money, he's gonna give you rent money. You ask God for mortgage money, he gonna give you mortgage money. You understand? And then so I was thanking God for that. And so that's what was happening. But when I stopped and like, God, I believe in you for a home. I believe in you for a bigger space, because our kids are growing like weeds. My son is only 11 and he's 5'5", people. We're almost, he looks at me in the eye at 11 years old. Let's just say this kid's going to be very, very tall. And he's only in sixth grade. Yeah. My daughter is only 6 years old and she's about 4'8", 4'7", somewhere around there. I don't know. I'm guessing. But she's very tall for her age, nonetheless. So I'm like, they need a bigger space. They need a bigger place to stretch their legs or whatever. And so I started asking God for that. I know I'm probably going all over the place. Please bear with me. I'm freestyling here. So I thank you for your patience. I just feel like we're just talking, right? We girls, we conversating, right? Okay. So bear with me. But also where was I going with this? For my job, yes, that I currently have. I remember going to that job. It was a new industry. I've never worked for that industry before. The jargon was different. The lingo was different. I was like, oh gosh, I came from a place where I knew everything and everybody. Not as if like I knew everything, like I was all that. No, like I knew what I was doing. I knew my job in and out. I knew my job thoroughly because I put in the work. You understand? And I studied, and I got to a place in my last job, which I was there for 7 years, that I knew exactly what I was doing. So going into a new job was like, like, you know, your first day of school, you don't know nobody, and you're trying to make new friends. That's really how it is on the first day of a job. It's like, okay, new kid on the block. Okay, here we go. And so, but I went into this job, and I was like, okay, how do I conquer this other half, this page in my story, right? Because it's a page. It's a page, not a chapter. It's a page. How do I conquer this page in my story? How do I give this story a good beginning, middle, and an end? And so I started saying, okay, if I think that I can do this job, I can do this job. So I started believing that everything they gave me was like easy. Like, well, I got this. This is fine. I got it. When I had no idea what I was doing, I had no clue. But I was like, I'm not going to show them fear. I'm not going to show them that I'm, you know, incompetent. I'm going to believe that I know what I'm doing, even when I don't know what I'm doing. So I started saying every day I go to work, you know, okay, I know what I'm doing. This is easy. I got this. I got this. And in about 3-4 months, I got it. I was like, I can't believe this. Why? It was all because I thought I knew it and I believed I knew it. And then it happened. So I say all that to say, please, please be careful with your words. I know how much words hurt because I used to be that person that would just fire off words like gunshots, like bullets, you know what I'm saying? And not caring where it landed or who it hurt. And I believe that once you turn that around and you start manifesting greatness, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So my challenge for you this week is to start off by keeping a gratitude journal. Every day you wake up, start thanking God for where you are at and where you are going, even if you can't see it yet, right? Even if you cannot even believe it. But whatever it is that you want out of this life, thank God for it. You want to be successful? Thank God for being successful. You want to have a home? Thank God for your brand new home that you don't even have yet. You want a brand new car? Thank God for your new car and your car payments. You want to be an entrepreneur, a leader? Thank God for your business. You understand? Whatever it is that you want, thank God for it. Because I believe that we are human beings, or we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Like, I believe this body I'm in right now is just a shell. You understand? I live my life totally different. You understand? I live my life on a different frequency. It's humbling, really. I'm pausing because it's really humbling. You know, I believe that we are like Christ. Like, I believe that God lives in each and one of us, but it's up to us to tap into our fullest potential. It's up to us to tap into that and to believe it. And I used to be very coy, very shy about my life. But now I try to live it out because I'm like, I only get one shot at this thing. You understand? I only get one chance. And so what service does that do to my, like, how does that serve me and the world by limiting myself or making myself small? How does that help in any kind of way? Like, I fought today to do this podcast. I was supposed to do this podcast on our cruise. And it didn't happen because it was 7 days of fun. I was like, I'm not recording a podcast. By the time I get in the room, I was sleepy. You know, I was eating. I promise you, I probably gained about like 10 pounds from this cruise. But dang it, it was all worth it. But then I got home and I was like, I'm going to do this podcast. And I was just too tired to do that. And so today I was like, I am going to do this podcast. I don't care what time of the day it is. I am going to do this podcast. So sitting here with you is a goal that I have accomplished today. all because I've convinced myself, I've told myself that I was going to get it done. And now here I am. So this week, I want to challenge you guys to think about your words. Think about the impact of your words. Think about what you tell yourself. Because 9 times out of 10, we are our own worst enemies, right? Like a lot of things that we want to do, it's not our circumstances that are stopping us. It's not the people around us that are stopping us. It's not what we see on TV or what we read in magazines or the music videos. No, we are stopping ourselves from tapping into our fullest potential, right? We put up these roadblocks in our own lives and we tell ourselves that we can't do this, we can't do that because it's never been done in my family and all this and that. But listen, I believe I'm here to break these generational curses. Like, I live to break generational curses. I live to break curse of poverty in my life. I live to break the curse of sexual immorality. I live to break the curse of depression. I live to break the curse of not having any self-worth. I live to break the curse of thinking that letting somebody put me in the box. Like, I live to break that curse. Like, you're not going to put me in a box. You're not going to put limits on me. You're not going to tell me how far I can go in this life. Like, I live for that. You know, understand? Like, I want to be used at my greatest capacity. I want to live full and die empty. Meaning, I want to do everything that I need to do in this life. I want God to take me where he wants to take me so that when it's my time to go or when my number is called, that I don't have any regrets, you understand? And so I'm at the point of my life at 36 where I'm just testing God and knowing that he is true and he is a man of his word and that he will and cannot lie, and that if I believe in him and if I trust in him and if I also, now you don't ask, okay, the power of words works in two ways. I believe you write it, you say it, you believe it, but then the other part of it also is you have to do the work. You can't ask God for a job and don't fill out a job application, right? You're not going to ask God for a car and not go to the dealership and try to see if you can get one. You're not going to ask God for a house and don't put out a loan application. Like, you have to do the work. It's one thing to believe and say it. That's all great. That's wonderful. It's a great start. But you have to remember the work needs to be done. You have to get out there, get your hands dirty, and get it done. So not only do you need to understand that there's power in your words, but you also have to put action to that word. You understand? You have to put action. The Bible tells you faith without works is dead. So that's my challenge for you all today. And also, I want to leave you guys with a poem that I found online that I thought would resonate with this podcast today. The power of words. It goes like this. Words can make one happy. Words can bend one's mind. Words can make one grumpy. Words can make one kind. Words can illuminate a man. Words can make one weep. Words can hurt so much that a man cannot even sleep. Words can hide the truth. Words can strike the heart. Words can provoke the youth to make a revolution start. Words can give one freedom. Words can push one to heights. Only words have such powers to separate wrongs from rights. Words are more than missiles that can make one just die. But words, if hit, cause much damage that makes one forget to try. Words before being spoken are under our total control. But after we speak the words, we fall under their control. By Omkar Atelli. So I wanted to leave that with you guys today. I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And I look forward to talking to you on my next podcast. Goodbye.